Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf yud. Before we start the daf, yesterday on daf tes omid aleph, we made reference to the fact that in the first base hamikdash, it says in our gemara that there were 18 kehanim gedoylim, the Vilna Gaon is goyres 12 kehanim gedoylim, the Tosis below is goyres riva 8 kehanim gedoylim. Then we made reference to the fact that in Mesechtes Zvachim on daf kuf aleph, Tosis says that there were 80 kahanim gedolim. And Tosis there says, how do I know that they were 80? 300 from the second base of Middash, 80 from the first, 380 altogether, Enekloch of Pinchas. And the Pasuk says, he knows in loy as brisi sholai. So when we learned this yesterday, I spoke that how does Hinni Noisan Lois Brisi Shalom, what does it have to do with 380? I said because the gematria of Shalom with a Vav Ketiyah, when you look at it with a Yud, is 380. And our good friend Barry was kind enough to go and make a picture and send it around. Afterwards, my son called me and says, I looked up the Tosis and it doesn't say anything about a gematria. It just says Hinni Noisan Lois Brisi Shalom, and that's 380. So I said, yeah, but I remember seeing it years ago. And in fact, so I looked it up here in the Mayana Shel Torah, a word from the Kosnois Oyer, where he says, Matzino betoisis in Zvachim Dav Kuf Aleph, ki hemet pinchas sholish meyus ushmoinem kehanim gedoylim, 80 bayis rishon, 300 in bayis sheni, zehu haremes, shebois vavak tua shol sholoim, haniris ke ois yud, ki memeila oila haminyan shol sholim, so that's the board. It doesn't say the Fadish and Toises. It's the Kosas. Or if you want to send this around, you're welcome.
I think
so.
People would enjoy it.
Starting from the Matzina B'Toises.
Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. So that was yesterday's Gemara and the Toises Zvachim of Daf Kuf Aleph. We're up to Rabbi Yisai, the second line from the top of Yud Omer Aleph. It says good. You remember we ended off yesterday. The Gemara said that the reason why the second base of Megdish was not Shoira the Shechina, Reish Lakish said that the reason is because of the sins. The sin was that Klal Yisrael didn't come en masse in the times of Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Yochanan said that's not the reason. The reason why there was no Nevuah in the second base of Midrash, because it already said in the beginning of the Torah, in Parshas Noach, Yaft Elikim liyafes v'yishkin v'olei sheng, top of Yud Omer Aleph, Afel gav the Yaft Elikim liyafes, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow yafes. Remember that Noach had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yafes, that even though the Klal Yisrael all comes from Shem, but Kadosh Baruch Hu said that some of the Yefes will also have a part in something Yefes, and something very, very pretty, Yaftel Kim the Yefes. And what is that referring to? So Rashi the top says it's referring to that Zohu Parsiyim Livnois Bayesheni, but nevertheless in a Shechina Shoyre El B'Mikdash Rishon. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Yaftel Kim the Yefes, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will give a portion to Yefes in allowing the second base of Migdash with Tif'artoi, with all of its Yefefia, with all splendor. Its beauty and splendor and majesty, that will be for the credit of Yefes, the second base of Migdash. However, the Shechina will be Yishkoim B'Olei Shem, only the first base of Migdash that was built by Shlomo Melech, B'Zaroi Shel Shem. So that's where we ended off. And now the Gemara asks the obvious question, and that is,
if the Shechina is not resting in the second base of Migdash,
no.
So then people could lose interest.
That could be. But in the Gemara, in fact, later on we're going to have, there were five things that were missing in the second base of Midrash. Nevuah is one of them, Shechina is another one, the Ruach HaKodesh, and the Oroin was not in the second base of Midrash. And we already had that Yoshio was going as a number of things. We didn't have the Shem and the Mishcha, second base of Midrash. A number of things were not there. The second base of Midrash never got to the same level of Kedusha, if you will, as the first base of Midrash. But we just finished saying that the second base of Midrash was built by the Persians, and the Persians are Enikloch of Yefes. Freytimar upar, so you mean Olandim Yefes ka'asu, how do I know that the Persians are descended from Yefes tichsivit, because it says in the Pasuk, Bene Yefes, Goymer umogoyk umodai v'yovon v'suvol umeshech v'siros. Yefes had a whole bunch of kids, Koimer and Magog, Modai and Yavan, Suval, Meshech and Tziras. I didn't see Persia yet, but we'll see soon. Goimer ze Gramamia. What means Gramamia? Gramamia, on the side you have the Aleph, is the Vilna Goin that says it's Germania. These Germans, Germany, the Germans come from the Bnei Yefes. Tzorech Loimer Germania. V'ayin Mashakosav B'Elio Rabba, Reish Perek Beis Din Goin. So, since it says over here, the Vilna Goin says we should look up the Elio Rabba, so I looked up the Elio Rabba. Elio Rabba is the Pirush of the Vilna Goin on Mishnayis, and we find here, beginning in the Goin, a fascinating Vilna Goin. This is the beginning of Perek Beis, Mesechtes Nigoim, which is Mishnayis in Seder Taharis. Nigoim, of course, talks about the Negat Saras, which we learned about in last week's Parsha. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the second Perek says something fascinating. Beheris Azo Niris Bagarmoini Keha Vakeya Bakushi Azo. When you're looking at the white blotches on the skin of individuals, and the Kohen has to determine, is this one of the Maris Negoim, you can have a very, very strong, very, very vivid white on the skin of a Garmoini, and that Keo, then it only looks pale. However, Vakeo, you can have a very pale white spot, Bakushi, on a person who is black, then Azit, then it looks very intense. So what is this Garmoini and Keya? And here we have the Elio Rabba. It says, Garmoini says, the Vilna Goin, Ze Ish Mibnei Gomer. This is an anicle of Gomer, Kiramrin Biyuma, like we just learned. Gomer Ze Gramamia. The Gersinan, and the real Gersi is not Gramamia, but Germania. V'chein Hu B'yalkut. And the Elio Rabba then says that all the three sons of Noyach all settled in different places, and that's why they have different complexions. The Yochan, the Tveris Yisrael, the Yochan Aboyaz, takes it and expands it a little bit. I'll just read it quickly. He says, the Nega Aza B'mara Loivim, we're talking about this strong Nega, Imhi Ba'odam Shehu Mi'eretz Gemanyin, if this is a person who comes from Germany, who Ashkenaz B'loshin Latina, the Migimel B'nei Noyach, Hisyashu B'nei Yefes B'tzofen O'ilam, of the three of the Bnei Noyach, the Bnei Yefes were the ones in Siyashu, they settled Mitzofen Oilam, he Europa, that's Europe, V'ashkenaz he Ayoyset Svoyniba, and among the normal countries of Europe, Germany is the most north, Umid Ein Shom Tigboyres HaShomesh, because the sun is not so strong, L'chein Toshavei Ahem Levonim V'yoyser, that's why people there have a whiter complexion. Ubnei Chum his Yashu v'dorim ha'olam. He Africa. Bnei Chum went down to Africa. The Kush, when it says in our Mishnah, Kushi, who Ethiopian. That's Ethiopia. He ha'yoyse droimibo. That's among the further down, more southern countries. Ubnei Yeshem his Gabris Hashemish v'yoyser. Since it's very, very strong sun. L'chein Toshavei Eretz Kush heim shchoyrim v'yoyser. That's why the Kushis and the Africans have a dark complexion. Ula b'nei Shem hisyashu mizrach oilam. They went to the, not to the north and not to the south, but in the middle, the mizrach in the eastern part of the world. He Asian, that's Asia, and that's why we say Middle East. He kemul ho'emtza shebin Africa le'Europa. It's like in between Africa and Europe. The Eretz Yisrael he kroivul emtzoyes Asian, and Eretz Yisrael is close to the middle of Asia. That's Middle East. L'chein toshavei mimutzayin bilav noynis oirim. That's why their oir, their skin is in between. It's not as white as the Germans and the Europeans. It's not as black as those that live in Africa. Al kol zeh midivrei hagoyin Rabbeinu Eliyahu b'ktzas toses bi'er. So this is all from the Vilna Goin with some greater explanation, etc., etc. That's what he explains. That's what Germania and Germania is. We're talking about over here in the Gemara. Even the Yefes, those were, I guess, the people that originally settled Germany. Continuing on, Mogoy zu Kandia, Modai zu, etc. Now all of these are nations that are at least not that familiar to me. However, if you happen to have an art scroll, both the English and the Hebrew, there are maps, and there are pictures, and there are very, very nice historical explanations for each one of these places. So if you happen to have an art scroll, or even if you don't, try to get one to get a better feel for all these places, because many of them are no longer extant, and we don't talk about them. So, for instance, we say Mogog zu Kandia. Mogog is Kandia. and he says, what is exactly Candia? This is identified by some as the Greek island of Crete, C-R-E-T-E, in the Mediterranean, south-southeast of Greece, which even today is called Candia. So therefore, it's referring to the people that settled in Crete. And then after that, says in Agamara,
Modai.
In Agamara it says, Modizu, Macedonia. However, the Aleph of the Bach switches it around, and he says that Yovan, start again. Modai kimashmoi. Modai is like it sounds. What means like it sounds? Modai, he writes in English, is Media. And Media was together with the Persians.
Poras Modai.
Exactly. Like we have in the Megillas Esther, Chel Poras Modai, because Poras Modai made a union so that they would be able to fight against their common enemies. And therefore Modai is Kimashmoi, not Macedonia, but Kimashmoi, meaning that this is Media. Then we continue on. Yovan is Macedonia. The Gemara says with a kuf, but we in English we pronounce it as if it's a soft C, Macedonia. See this, I'm changing the gears based on the Bach. Mm-hmm. Bach is Ois Aleph, where he says, Modi Kimashmoi, Yovan Zu Macedonia. Tuvol Ze Beis Unaiki. What exactly is Beis Unaiki? Once again, we have here in the art scroll number 9. This is probably Bithynia, B-I-T-H-Y-N-I-A, Bithynia, an area corresponding to northwest Turkey. That is the Indian of Tuval. Then Meshech Zu Musia. Musia number 10. This is Mysia, M-Y-S-I-A, a country west of Bithynia, which ran along the Sea of Marmara and the Dardanelles.
That's Bulgaria, basically.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, now we're getting to ours. Now we're going to talk about Tiras. What's the Tiras? Pligiba, that's a machlekes, Reb Simon v'Rabban, v'Amrila, Reb Simon v'Rabban. Chad Amazu base Turaiki. That's Turaiki. That sounds like Turkey. The Chad Amazu Poras, that's the Persians. Oh, so now since Tiras is the youngest son of Yefes, Poras, Tiras is Poras, so that's how we know that the Persians are Eniklech of Yefes. And that's how we've answered our Gemara's kashya. Gemara asked Bar Son, "Mino lo, b'yef es kasu." Oh, based on this machlokes of Simoi v'Rabbanan, and now we have Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras zu Poras. And in fact, Tiras means Persia, means Iran. That's what we're referring to in our Gemara. That's the Persians. Tiras is an einikol of us. Not an einikol. He's a son of Yefes, and the einikloch of Poras of the Persians. They are the ones that built the Beis Hamikdash Hasheni. Fine. Now, our good friend David Fishman, who's here with us on Zoom, sent me an email yesterday, and he pointed out in that email that is in fact another pshat that what is Tiras, and this is consistent with the first pshat of the Beis Turaiki, because if you go to the Targum Yonison Ben Uziel on this very pasuk, on Siros, says Targum Yonison Ben Uziel, Visarke. Some learn means Turkey, Visarke, which could be the same thing as the Beis Turaiki. And based on this, some historians are telling us, I'm sure you all know that corn in Hebrew is called Tiras. How did it get the name of Tiras? So the historians say that the reason is because corn originally was indigenous to the United States. And then the United States, in other words, to this country.
New world crop.
A new world crop. And it was eventually exported to Spain, and then from Spain it went to Turkey, and then from Turkey it went to the rest of the Middle East, including Israel and Jews that were living in that area. And that's why people said, what is this new grain? What is this new food? Oh, it comes from Turkey, which is called Tiras in the Pasuk, and that's how it got the name Tiras. It got the name corn, because they felt that this new food item is indigenous to Turkey. It was not, but that's what they thought, and that's why it got this interesting name of Tiras, coming from the name Turkey and Turkai, based on our Gemara.
The Shikoyach David. Timing, because they discovered the New World in 1492, so this was already 1,000 years.
The book is about how maize, corn, mm-hmm. got the mislabel of Tiras, mm-hmm. not about how the Gemara got it. It's about how how tiras being turkey is how then became corn. So corn's from turkey, corn's from tiras. So in the modern times, corn became available in the
in turkey.
And they thought it was a was sourced from turkey.
Right, that's what they thought.
That's the chronology here, not the other way.
Exactly.
Gemara doesn't know about maize.
Right. The whole thing is amazing. Anyway, David Yeshua Koyach for sharing that with us. And if we have no further comments on that, we'll continue on. We have now another pasuk. Now, we've concluded the discussion of how do we know that the Persians are from Yefes. Because we started going into these psukim, the Gemara brings now other psukim with other interesting names. And the next pasuk really begins Uvnei Chush, Sva v'chavila v'savta v'rama v'savtacha. Now the words savta and savtacha seem to be closely related. And therefore, says the Gemara, in fact, they are closely related. Tani Rav Yosef, Sekiston Gviyasa Uskiston Briyasa. That the references to Savta and Savtacha are the names of two different Makomos, two different places. Presumably these places are called after the person that first settled there, which presumably was Savta and Savtacha, both of them being the children of Cush. Anyway, so the Gemara says that the real names nowadays in the times of Chazal was Sekiston Gviyasa, that means inner Sekiston, and Sekiston Briyasa, which means the outer Sekiston. What means inner and outer? It means that the two settlements or these two towns were like concentric circles. That you start off with Sekiston, which was inside the circle, and outside where the city limits of Sekiston Gviyasa ended, from there Ben Chada Lechada, till you reached the outer Sekiston, was Mea Parsi, was 100 Parsois. The Keifa, and now when you went to the outer Sekiston, and you measured the circumference from the outside, the Hekif of the outer Sekiston was Alpha Parsi, 1,000 Parsois. So if you wanted to get to inner Sekiston, you had to first travel through outer Sekiston, go 100 Parsois, and then you reached the inner Sekiston. Shteid Vayit in the Pasuk now about Nimrod, Vati Reishis Mamlachti Bavel, initially Nimrod Harasha, his Melucha was initially in Bavel, the Erech Akad V'Chalnei, and then he continued on. So now, where are these places? Bavel Kemashma. Well, we know where Bavel is, that's modern-day Iraq, more or less. Erech Ze Oirichus, Akad Ze Baskar, Chalnei Ze Goifer Neufer Ninfi. And once again, each one of these is a very fascinating discussion in the article. If you have the time, look up the article footnote, and it goes to each one of these places, what we know, what the historians know about these places. Mina Oretzihi Yotza Asher. From this place, Asher left. Now, why did Asher leave? In other words, Nimrod was in charge, Asher left. And where did he go to? It says, in the Pasuk, Mina Oretzihi Yotza Asher, Ve'yiven es Ninveh, Ve'es Rechoy, Ve'es Kolach. Why did Asher leave? So, Rashi says over here, about 8 lines from the top, Shloi lihi yois batzas dor hafloga. He saw what was going on dor hafloga. He said, I don't want any part of this. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. That's why Asher left. The Moisef Rashi, do we have it over here?
On the left side.
You know, I see. But the question is, this is shorter than the Likute Rashi. There's a Likute Rashi in other Gemaras, which is a little bit more extensive. What did it say, Likute Rashi? He brings from another Gemara, another Rashi. See, it says that the Likutei Rashi brings from a Rashi in, it says Shom Yud Aleph, where is the original one? It says, Dr. Rashi, Kimin Shiro'o Ashur Ezbonav Shoimin L'Nimroid. He saw that his children were being enchanted, were listening to Nimrod. Umoridim B'Mokoyim Livnoi San Migdal. He saw that all of his kids were going off the derech. He saw that they're all following this new socialism, this new ism of Nimrod. And he said, Rabbi, out of here. We're leaving. And then Asher left and he took his kids with him. It seems to be a Rashi and Chumash. You'd have to check that out. Anyway, so that's the Inyan of
Rashi.
Oh, Shkoyach. So then he tells us that it's Rashi and Chumash, Yashakoyach. So, what happened now? Zokti Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef, Asher Ze Silek. Asher, that's the name of a place called Silek. Perhaps there is also a relationship. As you know, Silek means a person who leaves. Maybe this is also, Asher was called Silek because he was Mesalek himself. He left Nimrod and that region. Perhaps that's how it got the name Selek. Vayivin, what did Asher do? He built new cities as Nineveh, Visrochay, Visir, Vies, Kolach. Nineveh, Kimashmoy. Nineveh, that's the famous Nineveh that we have in the book of Yoina, in the Sefer of Yoina. Rechoy, Visir, Zupros, Demeshon, Vies, Kolach, which is Kelach, Zupros, Deborsif. Pros is the Euphrates River, and next to the Euphrates River, they had different cities. So the Gemara says that Rechoy Vesir, that is the city of Meshon, which is on the banks of the Euphrates, while Kolach, that's Pros de Bursif, that's the city of Bursif, which happens to be also on the border or on the banks of Pros of the Euphrates. The Gemara elsewhere in Mesechta's Gittin says that Bovel was also the name of a city, not only the name of a region, but also the name of a city, just like we have New York, New York. So Bursif was the name of a city, and Bovel was the name of a city, and there was a period of time that the two cities had, they were apparently so closely related that they switched the names, Bovel to Borsif, Borsif to Bovel, and this was a Shailel Gabi Gittin. If it said Neget, Bovel, does it mean Borsif, does it mean Bovel? V'es Resen bein Nimbe uvein Kolach, hi hu ir hagdoyle, that Asher also built Resen between Nimbe and Kolach, hi hu ir hagdoyle. So tomorrow, what is Resen? Resen ze Aktisvain, that's the city of Aktisvain. Hi hu ir hagdoyle in Yudea. Im Ninveh Irak Doyla, Im Resen Irak Doyla. Since the Pasuk says, Vies Resen, Bein Ninveh Uvein Kolach, Hi Hu Irak Doyla. Now, which is the Hi Hu Irak Doyla? Is it Resen or is it Ninveh? Lechoira, you could also say that it's Kelach, because after all, Kelach is the final one in this Pasuk. Vies Resen, Bein Ninveh Uvein Kelach, Bein Kolach, Hi Hu Irak Doyla. You would think the Irak Doyla is referring to Kelach, but that's not the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara Shaila is in Yudea, in Ninveh Irak Doyla, in Meresenu Irak Doyla. Why doesn't the Gemara Taka ask Legabi Kelach? That would seem to be the more obvious one. So the Tav Tosis asks that Kasha. The Tav Tosis says, because if he who Irak Doyla is modifying Kelach, it should have said, Vies Resen Bein Ninveh Uvein Kelach, who Irak Doyla. Why did it say, he who Irak Doyla? So therefore that seems to connote, says Toysis, that we're not referring to the Kelach at the end of the Pasuk, we're going back to the Resen and to the Ninveh. So I don't know which one, Im Resen Irak Doyla, or it's Ninveh. Since we have in Yoina, the Ninveh Hoysa Irak Doyla Lelekim, Halach Shloshes Yomim, Hebi Oyma Ninveh, Hiyo Irak Doyla. Just like in later days, Ninveh was known as the Irak Doyla, so presumably here too, the first Ninveh in the times of Asher, that was already the Irak Doyla. The Shaman, there you had the giants, Achimon, Sheshai, Besalmai, Yelidei Huanok. These were the children of the giant, and they themselves were of gigantic proportions. Zokti Yomara, Tana Achimon, Miyuman, Shebaachim. Achimon, he was the strongest of the brothers. Now, how do I know that he was strongest of the brothers? So here we have the Moise of Rashi on the second line, Miyuman, Shebaachim, Gibor, Shebehem, Kimoishi Yad, Hayamin chashuva min hasmal. Typically, a righty, a normal person, not to say that lefties are not normal people, but the standard people happen to be righties. Therefore, the yad yamin is the stronger one. The yad smol is the keha, the yodcha, like we have in the tefillin. Anyway, so he was miyuman. So where is the word? Why is he called Achimon? Because the word Achimon, the first part of Achimon is ach, the brother. He was the brother of the yamin that. He was as strong as a Yad Yamin. So that's why he's called Miyuman Shebaachim. Then Sheshai, Shemesim is Oretz Kishchisois. What means Kishchisois? So Rashi says that he was such a giant and he was such a heavy individual that wherever he would go, he would make potholes with his feet. Rashi said, Pipsioisev. As he was walking with such a, he would always see his footprints, but they were deep footprints, Kishchisois, as if he was destroying something. That's why. Now the question is, how does that have to do with the word Sheshai? Sheshai has two shins, Shchisois has two tufts, but why do you say that Sheshai is related to Shchisois? So our Rashi here is silent, but the next Moisef Rashi explains it. Shemesim Zorot Kishchisois, Shemokim Raglav Mamik Ba'aretz, Meroiv Koivdoi, since he was so heavy, it makes it like into a deep valley, wherever he would walk. V'nikr sham keguma ukeshachas. It looked like there was a destruction. There was a hole, like a pothole, and he destroyed something. V'loshin sheishai le'poydash lanu mai dam l'shchisais. What's the connection between sheishai and shchisais? V'nira, says Rashi, loshin amudei sheish. Sheheim kveidim umokim amodam nikr. Just like amudei sheish, when you're talking about amudim made out of sheish. Shesh is a marble, I believe. And these are nice and heavy. See here, the Shesha means like a Mudei Shesh, nice and heavy, and therefore they make an imprint wherever this giant would walk. Talmai, Shemesim Zorit Slum Tlum. Wherever he would work, he would make ditches and furrows in the ground, as if you just took your plow to furrow, to plow out the ground. When he walked, he left behind a plowed field. That's how deep the imprint was of his feet. Dovaracher. Well, the Beis takes out Dovaracher, because there's really nothing to do with Dovaracher. But rather, these three wall-built cities, Achiman, Bona, Anos, Sheshe, Bona, Alush, Talmai, Bona, Talbush. Now, they were called Yilidi Anak. What means Yilidi Anak? Shemanikim Hachama B'Koimosan. In Eretz Yisrael, even today, the word Anak not only means a giant, but also Anak means a necklace. And therefore, these giants were so tall, when you looked up to their faces, their head was blocking part of the sun, but then the rest of the sun you could see around their head, and therefore it appeared as if there was a necklace around their head of the Chama of the sun. That's how tall they were, that the Chama now become like a necklace around their necks. Omer Bishuman Levi, Omer Rebbe, I see the Roimish Atipo Biad Paras. Eventually, Rome is going to fall into the hands of the Persians. Assuming that Rome means not just Rome, but it means more generally Europe, that it's going to fall in the hands of Persians, in the hands of Iran. Now you know why they're trying to work out a peace settlement with them in Vienna, because they're nervous about that. Shneimer, like it says in the pasuk, Chen Shimu Atzas Hashem, Ashiyot, not Al Edom, but El Edom, Umachshav Oisav. This is the Eitz of Hashem against Edom, Asher Choshav, Al Yoishvei Teiman, Im Lo Yischovom, Tzirei Hatzoin. If the Tzirei Hatzoin, the youngsters of the flock of sheep, Yischovom, are going to drag them away, they're going to drag away Edom and Teiman. Im lo yosim aleim neveim, not noyim but neveim. That lo yashim aleim neveim. Yashim is loshen shmom. They're going to go and destroy noyim neveim, their houses, meaning their castles, their palaces, their mansions. They're going to cause a great deal of destruction. So Iran is going to cause a great deal of destruction to Rome, and presumably means the rest of Europe and people descended and affiliated with Rome. The first part of the pasuk about Edom is clear, but it just says Tziri Hatzoin. How do you know Tziri Hatzoin is referring to Poras? Maybe it's referring to, for instance, as Yomara, maybe it's referring to Yavan. You're telling me the reason is because it says in the pasuk, Ho'ayil asher isa bal hakarnayim malchei modei ofaras. The isle, which is sheep, Asheria ram, Asheria that you saw, you saw a balakanai that had two horns, and those two horns, one refers to Madai, one refers to Paras, and therefore you're saying, so that's this Tziri Hatzoin is referring to Paras because Paras is part of the horns of the isle, isle is Tzoin, so you put two and two together, Paras is going to take off. Maybe you're referring to Greece. Tachsev Vatzofir Hasoir Melech Yovan. So Yovan is described as Soir. Soir is like from Seir Izim. Seir Izim means from the goat family. And we know that Tzoin includes both Izim and Kvasim, Kvasim and Izim. So therefore it says Seir Tzoin. Maybe we're not talking about Persia. Maybe we're talking about Greece. He asked this kashi, posed this question in front of the Rabbanan, and he told what Rabbar Bar Ula asked on Rebbe. It was Rebbe that said Roim is going to fall in the hands of Persia because it says Tziri Atzoin, and he said maybe Tziri Atzoin is referring to Yavin. It's on Malay, so the Homer Rabbanan responded to Rav Chaviv, and he said, Mandala Yod Perushi Kroi, a person that cannot even give the simple explanation of Psukim in the Tanakh, Moisef Tiyuftal Rebbe. He thinks that he's such a grace of Kanakar, he can ask Akasha to Rebbe. Come on! Who is Rav Bar Ula compared to Rebbe? My Tziri Hatzoin. What is the definition of Tziri Hatzoin? Zutra de Achvoi. Zutra Achoi. It's the youngest of all the brothers. So what does that help us? The Tani Rav Yosef. That's what we learned at the outset of today's shir. The Tiras Ze Paras. Meaning, we started off today's shir. How do we know that Persia is descended from Yefes? Because there's been a Yefes. And we said that Siros is Paras. Naziret Kalein Trev Yosef, Sefsiras is Paras, and that is the youngest of all the brothers, of the brothers of Goymer and Mogag and Modai and Yovan and Suvan and Mesha. Sefsiras is the youngest. That's why it says Tziratzayim, the youngest. That's how Rebbe knew that this is a reference to Paras and not to Yovan. Omer Rav Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, Asi the Roim Mishatipu Biad Paras, like we just said a moment ago, in the name of Rabbi, Roim is going to fall in the hands of the Persians. Kal V'chaymer, what's the Kal V'chaymer? Amam Biktish Rishon Shibenu B'nei Sheim Bechrivuhu Kazdiyim. As we know, the first place of Israel was written, built B'nei Sheim, meaning by us, by Shloim HaMelech, Kal Yisrael that were Einiklach of Shem. Bechrivu, who is Machrivit Kazdim? Kazdim, in our case, is similar to the Babylonians, because Kazdim and Bavel were next to each other. So Kazdim is referring to Bavel. Noflu Kazdim Yad Parsim. Eventually, Bavel fell into the hands of the Persians. Iran took over Iraq. Mikdashani, Shemanu Parsiyim. Here, the Persians were involved in the building of the second base of Mikdash. Vechrivu, Roimiyim, and the Roimians came, and they were Machrivit. Eino din sheyiflu b'Roimiyim b'yad Parsiyim. Then certainly the Persians should come and take over from the Romans that went and destroyed the edifice, the base of Mikdash, that was built with the help and assistance of the Parsiyim. So what's the Kal V'chaymer over here?
Yeah.
The Kal V'chaymer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the one that is going to take revenge against all of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, who are the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, what about the Parsiyim? The Parsiyim are also going to take revenge. Madach and the first Beis HaMikdash, that they had no part whatsoever in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, they destroyed the destroyers. The Kazim were the one that destroyed the base of Mikdash, and the Parsiyim now destroyed them, even though they had no personal stake in the base of Mikdash. And the Mikdashani, where they did have a personal stake, they are the ones that built it. The Romans went and were Machrivit, so presumably they also want to take revenge against the Romans to go and destroy what the destroyers destroyed of their own property, that they helped build the base of Mikdash and the Romans destroyed it. So, Marach, they take revenge on behalf of Kodesh Baruch Hu when they had no part in the original construction. Here, they will want to take revenge on their own because they, the Romans, destroyed what they had built up, the second base mission. Omer Rav, now Rav says just the opposite of my side. Asida parash etibu biyat Romi, that the Persians eventually are going to fall into the hands of the Romans, in the hands of the Europeans, the Americans, hopefully. So Persia will fall to them. Omeli Rav Kahana Ravasi Lerav Benuye Biyad Seturei. The Benuye, the Persians, who were the ones that built the Beis HaMikdash, they should go and fall in the hands of the Sosrim, of the destroyers, the Romans that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Is that Yosher? Omelahu En Gzeres Malachi. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided, whether we understand it, whether it's logical, not logical, makes no difference. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu Gzeres. But Ikud Yami, there's another version. Amalahu, Inu Nami Hokosasri Bekinishta. Don't think of the Persians as just being these wonderful benefactors that helped in building the Beis HaMikdash, and they were not involved in any destruction. They did tons of destruction. They destroyed all of the shuls, those beautiful shuls that were in Iran and other places. So they're no grace of tzaddikim, and that's why they too are going to eventually fall in the hands of the Romans. Tanya Amihoch, we talk about a brisa which says both of those reasons. I see the parish of Tipo Viad Roimi. Why are the Persians, why is Iran going to fall in the hands of the Romans? Chodid the Sajib Mishnah. Number one, because they themselves are destroyers. They have destroyed so many shuls. V'yoyin gzeres melechu shiyiplu boinim biyad soysim. Because that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu's gzeres melech, that even though they were the bonim of the second base of Mikdash, they're going to fall in the hands of the sosrim of the Roimians who destroyed the base of Mikdash. Yom Rav Yudah Merab. Ein ben David ba. When will Mashiach finally come? I should tifshit malchus Roimi harishah b'chol ha'olam kulay. Until the Europeans go and take over, Romans take over the whole world. Tisha Chadashim for a period of 9 months. Shenema, l'chein yitnein ad eis yoleida yolda v'yeser echav yeshuvan al b'nei Yisrael. When will the Kodesh Baruch Hu bring the Mashiach ben David? At that time, the Yeser Echav Yeshuvan, when there will be a Kibbutz Goliath, everybody will return to Eretz Yisrael. When will that be? At Asiya Leida Yolda. At the time of the Leida, since a Leida takes 9 months, Asiya Leida Yolda, that a Yoledis has a pregnancy period of 9 months. So when the time will come, will Malchus Roim will have been dispashta over the whole world for at least 9 months. After that, the Kibbutz Goliath will happen, and Mashiach ben David will come. Okay, this is a fascinating sugya, all related to the various names that we had in the Torah, all because we started off with how do we know that the Persians are descended from Yefes. Zok Timur, let's go back now to our favorite subject, and that is the Lishkas Parhedrin. We said that the Kohen Gadol has to go and sit and reside in the Lishkas Parhedrin for a whole week. Let me ask you, did the Lishkas Parhedrin have a mezuzah? After all, a person's living there. And that's going to be the next Gemara. Tanarabat. Kol ha-lishachos shehoyu b'mikdash. All of the lishkas, all of the chambers that were in the Beis Hamikdash, lehoyu le-mezuzah. They didn't have mezuzah. Why? Because mezuzah has to be for beisecha uvesherecha. A bias when a person is living there. Uvesherecha, where you have your sha'arim, where you have the gates to the city, to the town, to your house. But not in your office, you would not require mezuzah. Not halacha l'maisa, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But based on our Gemara, an office that you don't live, perhaps because you eat lunch in your office, maybe you doze in your office, maybe you come zishtik like a bias, especially if you're a lawyer, that you have to stay 24 hours in the office. But normally offices should not require mezuzah because it's not a place, a residence.
But the coin is living there for 7 days.
Ah, so that's what we're talking about. Kol ha-lishoche shahoyu b'migdash lehem mezuzah chutz milishkas pahedrin. Why lishkas pahedrin? Shahoyu no read, shahoyu ba. Just like you said, Daniel, because the Kohen Gadol lived there. So the Lishkas Parhedrin did have a mezuzah. Amr Yehuda, the Halei Kamal Lishachas Ha'ibam Midrash, Shehoi Lehen Beis Dira, Lehoi Lehen Mezuzah, El Lishkas Parhedrin. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? Many of the Lishachas in the Beis Midrash were a Beis Dira. In which sense were the Beis Dira? Says Rashi, for the Shomrim that went and slept there. The Shomri Habayis. As we know, in Mesechtes Midois, it tells us that they were shomrim that watched over the Beis Hamikdash every single night. So they didn't have to stand on guard the entire time. They could also rest a little bit. And in fact, we had in the Beis Hamoiked, the Ziknei Kohanim, they would go and lie on the upper, not really benches, but like in a stadium, the upper
rafters.
Rafters.
The upper rafters.
Rafters. Those are not rafters. And the Tzidim, they slept on the ground. So there were places in the Beis Hamikdash in these Lashachas.
The Beis Evan also, we had for the Kohen Asar for Sapor. He lived there for 7 days.
So why is the mention Beis Evan?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Okay, so please look at the second Tosis. The Entimer, Lachshav Nami Lishkas Beis Evan.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, Mamish Machavin to Tosis. What is Tosis' answer?
Lachshav Ela Lishkas Shemamidash. Shibinus Bemidash Avalishkas Beis Evan Bahar Bayis Have.
So it wasn't in the
it wasn't a consideration for this Baisa.
Right.
No, Mikin Lohab Bechol.
Shata Alach Khamishanim Lechoshiv Dira. It's one thing that every single year the Kohen Gadol lives there 7 days. But from Paraduma to Paraduma, it took quite a few years often. And therefore they didn't have a mezuzah because for years and years nobody would live there. It would just be a Beis Evan. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara Nachamu, so Yehuda says, don't tell me that Lishkas Parhedrin is a place where the Kohen Gadol lived for 7 days. And the other Lishachas, nobody lived. And those other Lishachas, Kohanim were sleeping there all the time, all the Shomrim, etc. So why didn't they have a mezuzah? And therefore says Rabbi Yehuda, Lishkas Parhedrin, Gezeira, Hoysa. It was a special Gezeira. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what the Gezeira was. But in Miyat Hashem, the Gemara is going to tell us on the Amid Beis. And Rashi already gives us the summary, Gezeira Hoysa, the Kamei Mefarish, that Gezeira Shemiyoyimru Koyin Godel Bebeis Hosurim Hu Chavash. We don't want people to say that since the Koyin Godel is sequestered for 7 days, and he cannot go out, then he's got to stay there. He's in jail. He's in solitary confinement. That's why we put up a mezuzah to go and say, no, this is his temporary residence, but not Chas Hashem, it's a jail. This is a place that he's going to be growing over the next 7 days in his Yiras Shamayim, and the two Talmid Chacham are going to teach him the Torah, all the Torahs Ha'avoida on Yom Kippur, etc., etc. So that's, so the word Gzeira over here is not in the typical sense Gzeira. You goizer because of Chashash, one thing for the other. Gzeira also means this was the, they legislated that we should put up a mezuzah so that people shouldn't go and be mezalzel and say, oh, the Kohen Gadol is in jail for a week. So, but what's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that there were no mezuzahs in the Beis Hamikdash? My time in Rabbi Yehuda, so tomorrow Amar Rava, Amar Rava, because of Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Bayis, Einoi Osa Li Moisa Cham, Li Moisa Kshamim, Einoi Bayis. You have to put mezuzahs beisecha uvisherecha. To be called a bayis, it's got to be a year-round residence, not a winter residence or a summer residence. It's got to be year-round. Otherwise, it's not called a bayis. And since this was only 7 days, That's why not. So you're going to tell me, but there were Kahanim that were living there every single day, the Shomrim. So those other Lashachis should have had a mezuzah. So the Meiri or other Meforshim answer, because they were only resting there at night. During the day, nobody was residing in these Lashachis. So therefore, just like it's got to be...
It wasn't a bias.
Just like the definition of bias means both during winter and during summer. Even during winter and summer, it's got to be a 24-hour bias and not just a place where you sleep at night. And apparently nobody was... I don't know if there were kitchens or there were any dining room or anything else. Apparently this was just a place where they slept. And therefore, that's why it wasn't a full-fledged bias. Like we just heard Reb Simcha say.
Where did they eat? So where did the Kohanim eat the Kachay Kachin?
There was probably a place in the Azor, or maybe there was a special Lishka for that.
Okay.
But it wasn't the place where they slept. Says, I'm going to go and smite them. On top of the Besachayitz. In other words, both the winter house and the summer house. So you see that a winter house and a summer house is called a bias. On Malays, he told them, Beis Choyrif and Beis Kayetz Ikri. Bayistomolo Ikri. When you talk about a summer residence, you don't talk about that as being my home. You say that's my bungalow. You say it's my summer residence. When do you say that it's your home? A place where you live 365 days a year, not a place where you live only winter or only summer. That's called a winter residence and a summer residence, but it's not called my residence, my home.
Those huts that the watchmen in the fields, it was like sukkahs. In fact, our Gemara is going to talk about a sukkah right now.
What about the sukkah that you have for 7 days, 8 days? What about that sukkah? Do you need a mezuzah or not? In fact, it's machloikas. For those of you that do not have a mezuzah, don't be noivis, because you see the chum poitrim, there's a little base over there, which seems to indicate that you're not machoyev in mezuzah. Very good. So, with Reb Simcha, see Reb Simcha, you should always come to the beginning of the shir, because you have such wonderful, wonderful thoughts and comments. We'll see Mechem on the Amid Beis, one of the explanations of the machloikas between Reb Yehuda and the chum, whether or not you need a mezuzah, because Reb Yehuda holds that a sukkah is a diras kva, diras keva, and the chum hold that it's a diras aroi. Mechem, we're going to see that on the Amid Beis. But now, this machloikas, machayev and poitrim, is not only with regard to Hilchos Mezuzah, but it's broader. But Tani Allah, in the Brice it says that Rabbi Yehuda Machayev be Eruv, ube Mezuzah, ube Meiser. What does that mean? Eruv means when you have the Eruv HaChatzeris, we learned about this extensively in Masechtas Eruvin, you have one Chatzer, and you have, for instance, five houses around the Chatzer, to be able to go and carry in that Chatzer on Shabbos. Minat Torah, there wouldn't be a problem. The Rabbanan said, it looks like a Rishus Rabbim, since all five owners have the utility and usage, and they're walking and coming and going in this Chatzer. Since it looks like a Rishus Rabbim, they have to go make an Eruv. What means an Eruv? Everybody has to contribute towards the Eruv, the two Sudas, as we learned back in the Sechtes Eruv. What happens if you only had four houses and one Sukkah during the Sukkah's days of that week? Says Rabbi Yehuda, the people that live in the sukkah also have to contribute towards the Eruv, because they're also a home, even though it's only for 7 days. Mezuzah, that's what we just learned, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though it's only a home for 7 days, you have to have mezuzah. Is that what Rabbi Yehuda held? Rabbi Yehuda just said a moment ago that in the Beis HaMikdash, unless it was a full-time residence, Imoisechama, Imoisechshamim, by day and by night, you don't need a mezuzah. Only Lishkas Bahedrin was special because of that Gzeder. People shouldn't go and say the Kohen Gadol is living in jail. But otherwise, you're potter. And that's the Moriz Kasha, Eisvei Abaya. Here you're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda holds none of the Shochas required because they're not a full-time resident. 7 days in a Sukkah is a full-time resident? Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need a mezuzah. So we're going to come to answer that question shortly. But first we're going to continue on. He's Machayev Be'erim Mezuzah. Obe Meiser. What means Meiser? As you know, when are you Mechuyev to go and give Trumas and Meises? When the produce is Roya Pnei HaBayis. It has to be a formal house, you know. I don't know, it has to have a doorman, but at least it has to be a bais, a resident. Says Rabbi Yehuda, during Sukkot, that 7 days, that's your residence. Therefore, if the tvua is roi pnei abayis, and everything becomes mechuyev in trumas and maizes, even though the pnei abayis is the pnei hasuk. Aha. Okay. So that's Rebuta. It's a chesvei habzachastira. Maybe you're going to go and tell me that these chiyuvim of erev and mezuzim and maizes minatoyra Rebbe Yehuda holds pot. That's why in Lishacha is potter. They didn't have a mezuzah, and normally you wouldn't have to have an Erev, you wouldn't have to have a Meiser. It's all midrabanan. So you might be shlem Erev and mezuzah ikon le midrabanan. That would be a good answer. In other words, min ha-toyri taka don't need a mezuzah on a sukkah, because after all, sukkah is only 7 days. Come on, give me a break. If you don't need a mezuzah, unless it's a full year residence, and this is a sukkah, you don't need it. But midrabanan. Same thing, Erev. Taka min ha-toyri wouldn't need it. The whole Indian of Erev in Erev v'chatzev is midrabanan. And therefore, the Rabbanan said, you know, even on a sukkah. El ma'isa meikah l'meim mit Rabbanan. Ma'isa, you can't go and say the Chumim gave it in a ma'isa mit Rabbanan. Why? Because Dilma, perhaps, osa lafrushim min achiyuv ala p'tur, min ha-p'tur ala achiyuv. If you're going to go and say that the reason why you're mechuyiv on ma'isis, on this tvua, is because it's roya p'nei abayis, meaning the p'nei ha-sukkah, meaning min ha-toyra, it's taka potter. It's only mid Rabbanan that it's mechuyev. Once you're going to tell me that it's mechuyev mid Rabbanan, people are going to make a mistake and say, well, I have to eat Trumas HaMaisis. I'm going to go and be poirish, I'm going to go be mafrish Trumas HaMaisis from this heap of tua, another heap of tua, which is tak mechuyev min ha-toyra. But this is potem min ha-toyra. That's mechuyev min ha-toyra. Or if I can't, I'm going to be mafrish from real tua, that was roya, a real p'nei abayis, which is mechuyev min ha-toyra. I'm going to be mafrish for this tua that was roya p'nei abayis, Pnei HaSukkah, so I'm going to be mafish menachiv ala p'tur, menachiv ala chiv. That's problematic. So therefore, what would appear to be a chumrah will come out to be a possible kilkel. So that doesn't make sense. And therefore, says the Gemara, what's going on? I have a stira, Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Here Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need a mezuzah unless it's a full-time residence, 365 days a year. And here he says even for 7 days of Sukkah. When you're talking about 7 days, whether it's 7 days in Lishkas Bahedrin or it's 7 days of a sukkah, everybody agrees that you're mechuyev in mezuzah. Ooh. Keep please. So where's the machlokes? B'shariyim ma'isashana, the rest of the days of the year. In other words, you put up, for instance, in the Beis Hamikdash, the Lishkas Bahedrin, on Gimel Tishrei, before the Kohen Gadol arrives, you put up the mezuzah, you leave it there until after Yom Kippur, and after Yom Kippur you take it off, and you're done. Throughout the year, you don't need it. Keep plig b'shari moise shana. Rabbanan tzavri gazrinin shari moise shana ato sheva. Rabbanan said, no, no. If 358 days a year, you're not going to have a mezuzah, and you're going to say, I only put up a mezuzah for the 7 days of the year, you might forget to put the mezuzah up on Gimel Tishrei. So therefore, the best thing is, just leave it there. Don't take it off, because people will forget.
Kohen's reason, why we suspect, I mean, this is a...
Kohen's reason is when you're talking about karbonis. I don't know that we're talking about all mitzvahs and matzah toivim in the world. For instance, if they have a mitzvah involving chvais, eating matzah at home, will they make sure that their matzah is v'tachlis akashas? We're talking about
the avoid in the mitzvah. This is in the mikdash, that's why I think they pressure each other. They
yeah, but it's not avoid in the mikdash. Okay, this okay. is a requirement, I guess, the gaboyim, the administrators were in charge of this.
Or Hedrin.
The Pahed, okay. Let's just Pahed and we'll charge with the Pahed. Very good. So Zakti Mara Rabban and Sabri Gazrinan. Review the Saba, like Gazrinan. We don't have to be Goyzer. And therefore, yes, you have it for 7 days, but you don't have it for the rest of the year. Aha. Amali Rava, that doesn't sound right. Because Sukkot Hachag Bechag Tani. When we introduced this Raisa and we asked the Kasha, what are the chum being pointed? The sukkah sachag b'chag. During the 7 days of sukkahs, say the chum, you don't need a mezuzah. So l'choyer they hold me ikra din by the 7 days of the lishkas behedrin, you also don't need a mezuzah. You just said a moment ago, says abaya. Shiva kuliyam loy pli yavada 7 days of mechuyev, both in the basement of lishkas behedrin and the Chag and the Sukkot Dika Mezuzah. No, that's not true. Not everybody agrees. That's in fact the Machloikis. Sukkot is a Chag, but Chag is a Machloikis. And therefore, Ela Marava, Bishar Yemoyse Shana Kuliyam Ulay Pli Yidibtura. Sai the Gabi Sukkah, that you don't live in the Sukkah the whole year. And Sai the Gabi Lishkas Behedrin, you don't live in the Sukkah Behedrin all year. Everybody agrees you do not need a mezuzah. Ki Pligi Wizam Achlaikis, Bishiva, meaning the 7 days of Lishkas Behedrin. And the Gabi the Sukkah. And the two have two different reasons. The Sukkah time of the Chud, the Lishka time of the Chud. The Sukkah has its own reason, and Lishka has its own reason. Sukkah time of the Chud, Rabbi Yehuda Letamidi Omar, Sukkah is Diras Keva Ba'inan. This is what we heard about 5 minutes ago, authoritatively, from Inzertai Rechav Reb Simcha. The Reb Simcha says that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is Machayiv, the Mezuzah, for 7 days of Sukkah is because it's considered to be a Diras Keva. It's got to be your full-time diraf during the festival of Sukkot. Umachayv mezuzah. From one to my, the Amri Sukkot diras aray vina. Tlay machayv mezuzah. It's only diras aray. Only there for 7 days temporarily. It's only a hot shack, and therefore you don't need a mezuzah. So that's one machlekes, and that was machlekes in the Amud Aleph. Velishka time of the Chud. Rabbanan Savi dira bal korcha shmo dira. The Rabbanan said that the reason why you need a mezuzah on the Lishkas Behedrin is even because the Kohen Gadol is not happy about going. It doesn't have all the comforts of his home. He's not living with his wife and family. So it's Bal Karcha. We don't mean against his will that we're forcing him. We just mean that this is not his first choice. He wouldn't want to have to go to Lishkas Behedrin if he didn't have to go. So nevertheless, but if that's the requirement, it's Shema Dira, you need a mezuzah. For Vida Savar, Dira Bal Karcha, Loi Shema Dira. No, this is Nishka Dira. It's only for 7 days. Segunish, medrabanan udikin law, and this is the Rashi we have in the Amud Aleph. Shlo yoyimur, people shouldn't say kohen gadol chovish beis usurim, that the kohen gadol is stuck in jail, and that's the reason why the kohen gadol nebuch. We should all feel bad for him. He's stuck in jail. No, we put him a mezuzah to show that this is his temporary residence for 7 days. Man tana hadatana rabanan, who's the tana of the following baisa, that kol hasheorim shehoyu sham loy hoyu lehem mezuzah chutz mishar nikanor, all the sheorim that were in the Beis Hamikdash. How many sheorim were in the Beis Hamikdash? Back in the Sechta Shkolim, we had a machloikis, and the Mishnah said that there were 13, and that's why they did 13 hashtachavoyis, the kineged hashetz, 13 sheorim, right. But you're right, the Gemara brought Rabbanan from the Sechtas Midoy said to only 7 charim. So why did they have 13 Ishtachavoyis? Connected the 13 Pirtsois of the Yevonim that broke through the Soreg, which was around the Harabais. Anyways, the Machlaik is whether they were 13 or 7. But Kol HaShe'orim Shoyusham Lo Yehoyi Lahem Mezuzah, except for Shar Nikanar Shelefnim Mimenu Lishkas Behedrin. What's the reason why the Shar Nikanor did have, and there's another gear of the Vilna Goyen, it's not Shar Nikanor, it's Shar Hamayim. But the bottom line is, one of the Sha'orim did have a mezuzah, because Shalifnim Mimena Lishkas Behedrin. In other words, we have the Inyan of mezuzah is Beisecha Uvisharecha. Once you have a bias where you're putting the mezuzah up, the Shar that leads to that bias also has a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, Leimer Rabbanan Hivalei Rabbi Yehuda. The Chayyim, this goes according to Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan are the ones that say that the reason why this Lishkas Behedrin had a mezuzah, because it's a dira. Even though it's a dira's Bal Karcha, and even though it's only 7 days, Abba Dira is a dira. And therefore it has a din of a bias. If it has a din of a bias, so the Shar Niknor, the Shar Amayim, has a din of Vishurim. Beisechu Vishurecha. So it makes sense that it should have a mezuzah. However, later Behuda, to Behuda, he goof exera. That you have a mezuzah on the Lishkas Behedrin is not because you're really mechuyav, is that people shouldn't go be mezalzel and say, the Kohen Gadol is in jail. Vanam, nekem, and igzah, gzera, we should now go and put this one step further. Let's go and put on Lishkas Behedrin that people shouldn't say, and once we're putting it up, let's put on the shahr as well. Isn't that gzera, gzera? And for Demar Afel Temer, Yehuda kulachod gzera, to reinforce in the minds of the people that this is not solitary confinement in a jail, but this is really a residence. We therefore put up both the mezuzah on the Lishkas Behedrin and even on the Shar Niknor, the Shar Amayim, to indicate, this is Taki's residence for the week, and therefore we're putting up the mezuzah. Yes, Robert, I see you have a question.
Don't we say that for the first 30 days, no bayit is be mezuzah, even a regular house?
I believe that that's only a din in Chutz Laaretz, it's not in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, when you have a house already, day one, minute one, as soon as you move into the house, you have to have a mezuzah. Only in Chutz Laaretz we have that heter of the 30 days.
My question is,
Baruch Hashem to you.
We have
Aslocha Rabbah.